coming back. That something to shout about. Hudson, can you come forward, please? Last Sunday night, I think I had the privilege. Best thing that a father could ever really do. And that was, I got to baptize Hudson. And it was a thrill for me. And so this is our certificate, Hudson, of baptism, to say that you've been baptized and are a member of Osage Baptist Church. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you followed him in baptism. And we're so grateful for that. I was talking to somebody this morning, right before church, and they opened up a bulletin. I won't say their name so I don't embarrass them, but I opened up a bulletin, and then they turned and they looked at me and they said, "Are you preaching this morning?" I said, "You could tell because there's no notes in the bulletin, huh?" And one day I'll get on the ball and get you notes beforehand. But until then, this is what you're stuck with, a blue screen. So, oh, a butterfly. Thank you, guys. If you would, take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 1. The sermon this morning is something that the Lord has been more teaching me lately, and I hope that it encourages you. It's a familiar passage to all of us, but if you will turn to Joshua chapter 1 and stand with me, we're going to read the first 9 verses of Joshua 1. As the Israelites are preparing to go into the promised land. And the word says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant." Now the next 8 verses are a direct quote from God. Every one of these, all of God's word is inspired and from him. These are a direct quote of what God said personally to Joshua. So take note, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong." Now, count with me how many times he says this. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." That's, say it out loud, come on. 2, all right. That's the second time. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. 3. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." 3 times God says, "Be strong and courageous." And we're going to look at what he told Joshua as part of that, how he could have strength and courage with what he was about to face. Let's pray together. Father, we take your word and we thank you for it. We thank you that you have not left us without hope. In fact, you are our hope. You've not left us without a means to know you. You've given us the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you've given us your word so that we can know you and follow you and walk with you. Lord, I pray this morning that as we look into your word, as I preach, that not a word more or less than what you would have said would be said, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would fill me now and would take your word and apply it to each and every one of our hearts. It's you that we want to hear this morning, not me, Lord. So we ask that you would take your word and apply it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three times Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. That means it's important, right? Anytime the Bible repeats something, anytime God repeats something, if God says something once, we should pay attention. If God says something twice, you know it's important. If he says it three times, you know it's of utmost importance. Why would God tell Joshua three times, be strong and very courageous? Why do you think? He's going to need it. That's right. He's going to need it. You see, sometimes I think growing up, I tend to think of Joshua and going into the promised land and even these verses where he's promised that if you do this, you will make your way prosperous, you'll have good success. And I think, okay, well, they just stepped in and God did what he promised. He drove them out. But when you start to read this book, you realize, yes, God drove them out. Yes, they stepped forward in faith, but they had to step forward. And they had to fight. They were stepping into a battle, is what was happening. Yes, God drove out their enemies before them. Yes, God performed miracles on their behalf, but they still had to draw the sword. They still had to go to work. They still had to do the thing that God had called them to do. So God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because he's preparing him for what's to come. Now, let's look back a little bit. What's the setting? You know that Moses has just died. They're on the east side of the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River and to go into this battleground, really. It's promised to them. They're receiving it by faith, but they're still going to have to fight. They're still going to have to face a battle. And to make matters worse, Moses is dead. Moses is the one who for more than 40 years had been leading them. Moses is the one that they heard, that heard directly from God and told it directly to them. They had heard God themselves. And they turned to Moses and said, you speak to God for us. So he was the one that whatever he said, they knew was coming from God. They heard from God through Moses. All right? He's now dead. He's no longer with them. The one that they relied upon to interpret what God was telling them is no longer with them. And so God says to Joshua, it's time to get up. Now, I want you to notice in verse 2, it seems really abrupt here. There's a short sentence. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, get up. Go into the land. That seems pretty quick, doesn't it? That seems abrupt. That seems like, okay, he's dead, let's get on with it. Now, I don't want you to mistake this for thinking that God is callous, because we find out in Deuteronomy chapter or the last chapter of Deuteronomy, that they had spent 30 days mourning the death of Moses. After God took him up onto a mountain, they'd never found his body. God took him, the Bible says, and God buried him, the Bible says, but they never found out where. They just know that God took him. But here, for 30 days, God has given them time to mourn his death. But now he comes to Joshua and he says, it's time for you to go on. What do we draw from that? We draw from that that God is always at work. He's always at work in this world. And there's always, no matter the circumstance, no matter the difficult, there's always difficulty. There's always something that God is about. There's always something that God wants to do. Our job is to find that out and to be on the now therefore. Yes, he gives us time for those hard times to mourn the loss. But he doesn't let us stay there forever. He wants us to be about the now therefore. Lord, what do you have for me today? What is it you're calling me to do today? So God says to Joshua, "You now therefore, you get up and you're going to cross the land." Here's the thing, and here's why God says to him three times, be strong and of good courage. I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes. See, sometimes we look back at the Bible and we know what's going to happen. He's going to go in, he's going to take the land. It's going to take several years, but they're going to finally take the land. But we never really stop and consider, what is Joshua thinking in this moment? See, Joshua, for years, had been Moses' right-hand man. He had actually gone up on Mount Sinai with Moses when the law was given to Moses, and he had stood off at a distance, the Bible records. And then when the people were dancing around that golden calf, it was Joshua that says, "I hear the sound of warfare," when they're coming back down the mountain. And Moses said, "No, that's not warfare. That's riotous playing that you hear." He was with Moses during that time. There's also a time when Joshua and Moses went into the temple of God, into the very holy of holies, and fell down and pled for the people. And Moses pled for the people. He interceded for them. And the Bible records that God told him, "Okay, you go back out. I'm not going to destroy them," during one of the many times when they deserved to be destroyed. He said, "No, I'm not going to destroy them. You go back out and you tell them." But the Bible records that Joshua stayed in there, and he met with God. Joshua, for many years, had been in this position where he was learning about how to lead. He was learning about the Lord, but now God's thrust him into a place where he's got to actually go and do it. He's got to actually be the leader and do what God's called him to do. And so you can imagine Joshua's nervousness. Here he is. He's seen God work. He knows God can work, but he's still got to go in and fight. Have you ever been in a position where you felt like, "This is just overwhelming? This is more than I can bear. This is more than I can do." Maybe you feel a little bit nervous, you know, that twinge of nervousness in your stomach about what's coming. Or maybe a worry. This is God's word for that situation. This is what God says to Joshua, and I think what he would say to each and every one of us: be strong and of good courage. And he gives him three things to take strength and courage from. Look with me in verse 6. Three times, and each one of these times, he gives him a reason to be strong, a reason and a way to take courage. Look in verse 6. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." In other words, what God is saying, take courage from God's promise, his promise that he'd give them the land, but also God's plan, God's purposes. The way we take strength and courage is we decide we're going to be part of what God's doing. We're going to take courage because we're going to get in God's plan. We're going to go about it God's way. You see, each and every one of us here has a purpose. God has placed you here in Osage, Arkansas today for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. And we've heard that growing up. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and he does. I believe it. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Thank you. He does have a wonderful plan. But it's all related ultimately to his plan. His overall plan. Your plan individually is not separated from God being glorified. You understand that? Your plan, your purpose here is to glorify God. So whatever God's specific plan for you is, it ultimately is to bring glory and honor to God. And when you decide, "I'm going to make my goal in life, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to make my goal to honor God, to glorify God," you're getting on board with God's plan for you. Because that's his ultimate plan. That's what he wants for you individually, all right? So he says, here's God's plan for Joshua. He says, "You are going to go in and you're going to take the land." In fact, he has told him that every place where your soul, the sole of your sandal treads, you will take. God's battle plan for the Israelites was boots on the ground or sandals on the dust. It was everywhere they stepped, that was going to become theirs. He told them the boundaries, and he said, "Everywhere you tread, that's now yours." All right? So God gives him the overall plan, but he says, "Here's your purpose, and you will do it." He doesn't say you might do it. He says, "You will do it." So you see that in verse 6? He says, "You shall cause this people to inherit the land." He doesn't say, "Oh, you'll get part of the way." He says, "You shall cause them to," right? That's God's purpose for Joshua. That's why they're there. That's God's purpose for all the Israelites that were living at that specific time to go in and possess the land. That's why they're there. All right? So they were going to need to take strength and courage. Now, let me back up just a little bit. Be strong and courageous. Those two words are two different words in the Hebrew, but they basically mean the same thing, except one seems to be a little bit more like physical strength, and one seems to be courageous and inner strength. One is be strong on the outside, the other is be resolute on the inside as well. And those go hand in hand. So he's saying, be strong and courageous because you're going to be about my purpose for you. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Well, hang on. Let me back up. Let me go forward a little bit. You remember when Joshua, in a few chapters over, in fact, it's chapter 5, he meets somebody. He's standing before Jericho, and he meets somebody. Anybody know who that is? There's a man that he sees standing there. And the man has a sword drawn in his hand. The angel of the Lord. And he says to him, Joshua says to this man, are you for us? Are you for our enemies? And the man says to him, neither. But as captain of the Lord's host am I now come. Who is captain of the Lord's host? Is Jesus Christ. This is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appearing to Joshua, and Joshua falls on his feet and worships. And the man doesn't say, like an angel would, oh, stand up. He says, take your sandals off too. The place where you're standing is holy ground. That's how we know this is Jesus before. This is God, the pre-incarnate Christ appearing to Joshua. Now, the next chapter goes on. In the pre-incarnate Jesus, that means before he was born, years later, tells Joshua, here's your battle plan. He says, you're going to go up to Jericho, you're going to take everybody, you're going to march around it one time. Next day, you're going to get up again, you're going to march around it one time. Next day, you're going to get up. And he says, also take the priests with the trumpets before them, but they walk around, take the Ark of the Covenant. He gave them a whole battle plan. Now, it doesn't sound like much of a battle plan. They're not doing much other than marching around in a circle until finally he says, on the seventh day, you march around it seven times, and then you shout, and the walls will fall down. That's the battle plan the Lord gives him. Now, I want you to notice something. What was Joshua doing when God gave him the battle plan? Louder. You don't know? He was standing outside Jericho, the Bible says. He was already there. You know what he was doing? He was, as far as he knew, obeying God. God had told him, you're to go in and you're to take the land. I'm going to go before you. And as far as he knew, he was obeying God. He was about it. He was studying Jericho. He had already sent two spies in to search out Jericho. He had already made plans. And now, I think Joshua was standing there drawing up a battle plan himself. He's saying, God's told us to take this. We're going to go in and take it. And then God shows up and says, okay, Joshua, here's the real plan. Here's how I'm going to work. You see, when we decide we're going to be about God's purpose for our life, that's going to take some planning. We want to know, oftentimes, at least I do, if you're like me, I want to know, God, would you spell out the battle plan for me right now? Would you give me steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? And what is step 10, Lord? When oftentimes what God says, I just want you to be obedient. I've told you to do this, you start on it, and I'll show up. That's what God wants from us, and that's what God does for Joshua. He says, you start on it, you cross the Jordan, Joshua, you walk, have the priest walk down while that flood's going, step into the flooding waters of the Jordan, and immediately, that's when God steps in. It's not till we decide we're going to obey God, we're going to get on board with his purposes, that God steps in and begins to work on our behalf. And that's what God does with Joshua. Now, I have a question for you, and I'd like an answer. So wake up. Let me come down here. What is God's purpose for you today in Osage, Arkansas? Obedience. What's God's first purpose for every one of us? The very first thing God wants for each and every person. Salvation. That's right. That's the first purpose. He says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So we obey him by repenting. We obey him by saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I can't save myself. And when you obey him, God will meet you. When you say, Lord, I repent, God will meet you there. And he will save your soul. That's the first purpose. Now you're saved. What's God's purpose for you? To do his will. Sanctification, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, this is God's will for you, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, but that you should live holy, righteously, right? That's God's purpose for each and every one of you. He says, this is God's will. We know it. We don't have to wonder about it. We know it. What's another purpose? Evangelism, thank you. We're to be witnesses. He says, go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, right? Even to the end of the age. That's his purpose for us. He has us here today to be witnesses, right? What's another one? He says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. His purpose for each and every one of us who are believers here today, be filled with the Spirit. God has a purpose for you and he's given it to us. He's told us what it is. Those are all things that he has purposed for us here today, right now. All right? So those are God's purposes for us. Now, let's go on to verse 7. He says the second time, be strong and very courageous. But what does he tell him to take strength in? How is Joshua to take strength? Look with me. He says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You're to meditate in it day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. The way that we take strength and courage is through the Word of God. Friend, God's called us to a life of faith. Where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot live apart from the Word of God. Jesus said that. Jesus said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our life is really from the Word of God. So here's what God was telling Joshua. Up until that point, all of God's word was contained in the book of the law. Okay? He had given them the law. That's what they had. That was their means to know God. We look back sometimes at the law and we say, boy, that was restrictive. And I thank the Lord that we are not, as Paul said, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Because we are not condemned by the law any longer. We stand in grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things you have to realize in Joshua's position was the law was his means to know God. The law was the revealed word of God. So when you read this, read the word of God. Okay? Realize what God is saying here is that he is saying, what I have given you, the revelation I have given you, take strength and courage in that. You see, sometimes what happens is we say, Lord, I want to know what to do. I want to know your will for my life. And then we never pick up the book. Why would God show us his will if we're not willing to read what he has already said? Why would God say to you, okay, I'm going to give you some special revelation if we're not willing to honor the revelation that he has already specially revealed? If we're not willing to take this book and say, okay, God, you have spoken. You've spoken to me. I want to know it. I want to read it. I want to study it. I want to know what you have said personally to me through your word. That's how God will speak to you through this book. Through his revealed will. And notice what he says. You're to meditate in it. That's not sitting cross-legged on the floor going, That's not what he means. Meditate means to go over it. Go over it. go over it again and again. I read an illustration recently of a famous preacher a long time ago called G. Campbell Morgan. And he was teaching, and a student came up to him and said, "Boy, you just seem to know the scripture. How do you know the scripture?" He said, "If I tell and so well when you preach," he said, "if I tell you, you won't do it." He said, "Well, try me." He said, "Okay, here's what I do. When I get ready to preach, before I even study a book, I read it 50 times. Yeah. Before I even study the book, I read it 50 times. And I thought, whoa, no wonder he knew the word. That is going over it and over it and over it again and again. So much so that it gets down into his heart. It gets into his life. And he begins to characterize what God has said. Now, I'm not saying go out and read the book 50 times, although I would highly recommend it. That was more of a challenge to myself. What I am saying, though, is, and what God is saying is, take his word seriously enough to read it again and again and say, "Lord, I want to know what you have said to me through this book." Now, when he says he will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success, what I used to think immediately was money. I used to think wealth. You'll be successful in whatever you do. Whatever you decide to do, you'll be successful. That's not what he's talking about. What was the prosperity and the success that God was promising Joshua? The prosperity and success was as far as he was doing God's purpose, what he had already laid out for him. His purpose was to go in and take the land. He says, if you will meditate, if you'll go over my word again and again, I guarantee the purpose I've laid out for you, you will prosper in. Does that make sense to you? You understand what I'm saying? The purpose that God has for each and every one of us, we will prosper in. That doesn't mean wealth. That means succeeding in the calling that God has given to each and every person here. And it'll come through his word. That's what he promises right here. He says, you meditate in my word, you go over it again and again, you'll find prosperity in the thing that God has called you to. When you hear prosperity, throw out those ideas of money and think, God's plan, God's purpose for my life. God's plan and purpose might have nothing whatsoever to do with money in this world. In fact, most likely it won't. It'll be the exact opposite in many cases. Oh, God may bring it in some cases, but in many cases it will be the exact opposite, but it will be the thing that's most beneficial for you. And it's not money. It's a relationship with him, and it's bringing other people into the joy of a relationship with him. That's ultimately our purpose, is glorifying him. All right, so let's go on to the last thing. He gives us three ways. The first way is to get on board with God's plan. Take strength and courage in God's plan. The second way is to go to God's word. Find strength and courage in God's word. And finally, is to take strength and courage in God's presence. Look with me at verse 9. He says, "Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In fact, he bookends this promise. Back up in verse 5, he says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." And then he says, "I will be with you wherever you go. Take strength and courage in my presence, Joshua," is what he's saying. Now, this is significant for Joshua, and I'll tell you why. Through all those years coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going to Mount Sinai, building the tabernacle, disobeying God by not going forward in faith, even though he and Caleb were the two that said we should go forward now, wandering for 40 years in the desert, coming back to the Jordan and being ready to go in, something had been leading them. Someone. And that was the Lord. And how did he lead them? How was his presence known? How did they know that God is with us in this camp? Every night, they looked up and over the tabernacle, they saw a pillar of fire. Every morning, they looked up and over the tabernacle, they saw a pillar of cloud. God's presence was seen in their midst. Every morning they also looked up and they looked out and they saw manna on the ground. God was here last night. God showed up. God provided for us. God fed us. We know it. You know what the Bible says happens the day after they crossed the Jordan? No more manna. You say, wait a second, they're in the promised land. God said, yeah, you're here. You're going to eat off the land here. You don't need the manna anymore. The other thing, we don't have any record of a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire in the book of Joshua. All we have is the guarantee of his presence. And I love that. You know why? Because you and I, we don't see a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire today, do we? But we still have the same guarantee. Jesus said, when he was leaving this earth, he gave the great commission. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We have the guarantee of his presence. We may not see him, but he's with us. We have that same promise. He said to his disciples at the Last Supper in John chapter 14, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will return. We have the guarantee that he's coming back. And I want to read you one last scripture. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 13. Because I love this promise. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Say amen when you get there. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, keep your life free from the love of money. We just talked about that. And be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Money is not a sign of God's presence. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I have the Lord on my side. What can man do unto me when I have him? Joshua is told to take strength and courage, to be strong and of good courage, 3 times. And then God told him the ways to be strong and of good courage. Be strong and in good courage because you're about my plan. You're about my purpose for your life. Be strong and of good courage by getting into my word, by taking strength from my word, and be strong and of good courage because I have promised I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can. If you say, I don't think I can take strength because I don't know him personally. And you even wonder, what is all this talk about personally knowing God? Is that even possible? I'm here to tell you it is. And the way you do that is you recognize that you are a sinner. You've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You've missed the mark for what God has purposed for you. And that's the case for every one of us in here. But the good news is that you don't have to die that way. See, if you die that way, you will be forever separated from the presence of God in hell. Friend, there's not a one of us in here that knows the Lord Jesus Christ that wants that for you, and the good news is neither does God. The good news is that he wants you to repent of your sin. Repent means you recognize I'm a sinner, and you can't save yourself. There is not enough good works that you can do to make up for just one bad work, one bad deed in the sight of God. The only one that you have to live a perfect life, and the only one that's ever done that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But he came, he died on the cross. He lived that perfect life, and then he went to the cross on your behalf. And he bore the punishment for your sin. The Bible says that your sin was placed upon him. God placed your sin upon him on that cross so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. He rose again from the grave after 3 days, so that proving that he's the Son of God, that he has all power and authority, and that he can save your soul. Now, Donna's going to come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Brother Lanny's going to be up here at the front. Myself too. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, today's the day. There's no better day to know him, to receive him, to know his presence, and to have the strength and courage for the trials of life that are sure to come by walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing, I invite you to come.